comics,
movies,
music,
video games,
technology,
Blu-ray,
television.
This is the HHW LOD Podcast Network.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com.
Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast.
Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your Android, iPhone, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week on Out Now with Aaron and Abe, we're talking The Maze Runner.
Why would we be talking about corn?
Because we gotta give back.
Wait a minute, I forgot my introduction.
We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, as always. This is
Abe. Hello, friends.
Out Now is a film podcast. Abe and I discussing new movies weekly. We cover some various movie topics, dive into a mostly spoiler-free review, and jump back into other topics. This is episode 164. 164.
I mean, that's like 100 more than Nintendo 64.
You damn straight it is. Yeah. And this week we're talking The Maze Runner, based on the popular YA novel, the first in what I assume is going to be a series. I don't know even how many books.
I didn't know.
you thought it was just like, that's it?
I thought that was one. I was like, oh? We'll get to that.
You thought we were just good? We were like, oh, yeah, maybe they got out. Whatever.
Like one YA novel that actually encapsulates everything in one book? This is amazing.
But yeah, joining us to discuss The Maze Runner, we have from Rath's Reviews. He's fresh out of the cage and ready to go for a jog. It's Jordan Rath.
Hello, everybody. How's it going? My name is Jordan, over from Rath's Reviews. I'm excited to be here today and joke around and talk about Maze Runner and apparently the sequels that our audience should hopefully know about.
Yeah, you know, we give Abe, you know, a short leash. So
I don't please enough.
Yeah. But no, yeah, welcome to our show, welcome. Jordan. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Always happy to have new guests on the show.
Indeed.
Especially when, you know, some of our, you know, our hosts don't exactly know all the things that they need to know about the Maze Runner.
Yeah, that Aaron guy.
I bet you couldn't even begin to guess what the sequel of the Maze Runner would be called.
Still Mazing?
Still Mazing, yeah, still Mazing.
What it's called? I mean, that's the most obvious.
Is it the Scorch Trials? Is that what it is?
That doesn't make any sense at all.
The Scorch Trials? Okay.
I mean, come on, Mockingjay?
Well, of course, it's a movie, so it'll have to be like the Maze Runner Chronicles, the Scorch Trials, or something like that, to make sure everyone knows like that it's still the same franchise.
I had to ask actually a bunch of teenagers after the movie was over. I had no problem asking them.
We should run through that scenario where you like leave the theater and you see a bunch of teenagers, so you walk over and you're like, "Hey guys,
hey guys, questions. Don't mind me. I'm actually one of you. I'm like a 15-year-old, but
so you're
you
trying
might
to,
have seen me in high
school. To present your age, okay?
Yeah.
All right, anyway, let's get away from this nonsense. we have some announcements. Let's see. First thing. Last week, but I'll announce it again, Sleepy Hollow commentary. We recorded a commentary for Sleepy Hollow, the Tim Burton film, both because we always do a commentary for every month of this, you know, every new month we do a new commentary, and because the show Sleepy Hollow on Fox is returning, and of course people know that I co-host a show called the Ichapod Cranecast, which goes over the TV show Sleepy Hollow, so I figured why not do a joint podcast episode where we talk about Sleepy Hollow, the movie. So that's out there now. That's available on iTunes. You can find that. It's a lot of fun. Me and myself and Brandon and Victoria, our guest, we have a lot of fun talking about that movie. What else?
Color V, right?
Yeah, sure. we also have a bonus episode coming regards to Tusk, the new Kevin Smith film. Myself and Jordan Grout are going to record a special episode for talking about Tusk because that's a movie that we saw that we feel like we should probably discuss in some manner.
And because we love giving content.
That helps, yeah. Speaking of content, lots of horror bonus episodes are going to be coming this October. We're going to have a bonus episode every week in October with myself, Brandon, and hopefully friend of the show Jimmy O from Joe Blow and Jason Fullman. Yeah. We're going to talk about just various decades of horror and the films associated. So that should be fun. A lot of October content coming your way.
You could call it an Oktoberfest. There will probably be.
Oh, there will be beer. It's my favorite PTA. There will be beer. The great.
That was after he did the master, right?
That's what Joaquin Phoenix did. He was so good at making moonshine that he made his own distillery and became popular.
That makes so much sense. Yeah, Dad's old fashioned root beer.
So last thing, iTunes reviews and ratings. Good to get those. Helps out our show, helps other people find our show, and just is very simple to do. You log on iTunes, maybe you type up a little sentence, or just give us a star rating. Anything will do, and it just makes us feel happy about doing the show.
You can just type a period and just give us a star rating. That should be really funny. Anyway.
Okay, well, so let's move on now. Let's get to know everybody. Each week we try to ask each other a few questions, try to set the tone for the podcast, and better get to know everybody. So I'm going to start this one off.
All right.
This is for both of you guys. What is your preferred environment when it comes to running away from something? Say you're in a hostile situation and you're running away. What's like that? What's the place where you're like, I can probably run through this pretty well?
Do they have ranged weapons?
Hey, it's your scenario, buddy. Let's say yes, sure. Yeah, they have poison spears.
Oh, God.
The worst kind of spear.
I'd say a mall.
A mall?
Yeah.
So you'd be running up the escalator?
Yeah, you go down the escalator, up the escalator, just like pull like a, you know, I don't know, an entire sequence full of randomness.
Of mall parkour?
Yep, mall parkour, exactly.
Of mall core?
District B13 mall.
I think I'd have to go with a skyscraper. I think there's a lot of strategy hiding on those floors in there. I was going to say an open field, but since they have ranged weapons, I don't think that would work out too well.
I would agree.
Skyscraper would be good.
Skyscraper would be good. I'm just thinking of Die Hard now.
I'm just thinking there'd be convenient like bungee cords like all around it too, so you could just at any time like hop out a window and grab one and be like, yeah, that was working, and then like descend to a lower floor.
Exactly.
You could do that. I mean, that's almost exactly like what's that one with Nathan Drake? Uncharted. Yeah. Just like climbing out the windows and like going on the rope. It's a good one. Okay.
I'd say like Mission Impossible, but you know, a video game works too.
Mission accomplished.
Thank you.
You're welcome. My question to you guys is, if you guys are in this, you know, deserted, isolated location, would you rather be in charge or the cook?
The cook?
You would want to be the cook?
No, I'm asking, just making sure. There's just the cook.
There's either the leader or the cook. Yep. Okay.
I kind of feel like the cook is somewhat the leader. Like, he controls food.
Oh, I like that. I like that plot twist there.
I'm going to say the cook. Also because you're required to kiss the cook. That's just part of it.
So you're saying if you were trapped with a bunch of teenage boys, you'd want to be the cook because of kiss the cook?
All I'm saying is I'd have an apron that says kiss the cook. I'd be controlling the food. Whatever happens from there happens. That's what I'm going to
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I'm not saying it's a whole session, just, you know, like an acknowledgement, like French style, you know, like European style. like an acknowledgement of, like, how good of a job I'm doing as said cook.
Oh, c'est bon!
That's what I say after they eat my food and give me a polite, like, peck on the cheek, like, yeah, aww, that was a good job, man.
Thanks. You're just, like, stealing all the power from Albie.
Yeah, exactly. Albie's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Jordan, your decision on the question.
Your answer to this serious question?
What about a leader who can cook? Ooh. Not necessarily the cook, but if you don't like what the cook is making some night, you can be the leader and step in and make your own little thing.
I like where you went on that one.
That was good, too. That was mind blown.
That's because that means he's ready for all situations.
He's ready. He's allowed to come back.
Jordan doesn't have to pass our game session where it really determines whether our guests come back to the show. He's already in.
He's in. You did a good job answering this.
That's a new record,
question.
I think. It took Adam Gentry like 8 tries before he could get back on the show.
Black belt and gold medal winner Adam Gentry.
Not enough for this podcast, though. All right, let's move. That was a good session of everybody.
Buddy.
So let's move on. Let's get down now, cookies.
TM.
Each week and out now, we have one main movie of the week, but we also have other movies of the week. That was all I have until Tornado Quiz.
Jim?
That was pretty good this week.
That was pretty good. Pretty spot on.
Abe, have you seen any other movies this week?
I did. I watched The Skeleton Twins.
Oh!
That one was very well written, well acted. I believed every moment of the brother-sister relationship. I think what also made it extra special was that if you kept up with Saturday Night Live, Kristen Wiig and Bill Hader, their chemistry just is so effusive on the screen. They were also in Adventureland together.
As a married couple.
And I just think that they play very well off each other, especially during the comedic scenes. I mean, the dramatic scenes worked especially well as well. I was kind of bummed out. But for the most part, I do highly recommend this movie. And basically, Luke Wilson plays Luke Wilson / a Labrador Retriever.
I will go to bat for Luke Wilson. I think he's excellent in this movie, and Ty Burrell. I think the whole cast is just very well performed overall. But yeah, I agree. The movie, I highly recommend it. There's certainly a lot of dark dramatic material going on with the dark comedy throughout this movie.
There's a lot of depression in this film, and I mean, it's kind of just one of those things where they don't outright necessarily deal with it, but it does happen. And if you know people who have had depression clinically depressed, I mean, this will probably echo a lot to you.
Yeah, certainly a good movie. Well, what we're seeing. Yeah. Jordan, have you seen any other movies this week?
I did. I saw Walk Among the Tombstones yesterday. Yeah, I was, in all honesty, a bit disappointed by it. I'm a pretty big Liam Neeson fan, but at the same time, I kind of take a step back and realize that most of his movies aren't that great. I liked Nonstop earlier this year. It wasn't his best one, but I thought it was an awesome one-time view. Never would need to watch it again, though.
I think that's where Abe and I land on that one as well. It was certainly a lot of fun seeing it, but it's not like I need to go out of my way to see. So, which is weird, because like Taken I can watch like all the time for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, like, he has his classic, like, Taken. Taken 2 is probably his worst, in my opinion. I couldn't stand Taken 2, but I...
Of this wave of Neeson's action movies?
Yeah, the last few years, I thought Taken 2. The part where his daughter just starts throwing live grenades in one of the world's largest cities.
Because he says, throw another grenade, like that.
Jimmy, I need you to throw another grenade.
Just do it so I can hear. Yeah.
That Don't part worry about was... the fragment rounds going everywhere into everyone's face.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, a Walk Among the Tombstones, huh?
Yeah, and so basically anytime. So for me personally, The Gray is my favorite Liam Neeson movie. The Gray is, I don't know, I know a lot of people somewhat don't like it or they think it's kind of boring. I really, really like The Gray. That was probably one of my favorite movies.
Once again, Jordan, you've assured your spot on this podcast in the future, because Abe and I love The Gray to death.
That was in both of our
top tens that year.
Yeah, that was my number five. It was either my five or six, whatever year that came out.
Yeah, we had it quite high.
It really grew on me throughout the year, because I remember I saw it, and then I was like, God, that movie was so good.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So yeah, Walk Among the Tombstones, essentially, I mean, it's a detective tale of some really gruesome material that, along with No Good Deed, I've just been creeped out by human beings in general for the last 2 weeks at the movie theaters. So, I don't know, it was just one of those things that didn't feel that special, didn't feel that original. I mean, Liam Neeson did good in it, like he always does. He's so typecast anymore that he'll never do bad in one of these roles. It just was something that by the end of watching it, I'm like, I don't ever need to see that again, really, nor do I feel like that was time necessarily well spent. I didn't think it was a bad movie by any means, but when you see a movie or two every weekend, like, you kind of start to pick out the ones that you realize you didn't really need to see, and that was kind of one of them.
Yeah, I'm kind of right. I don't feel like I was too thrown off by it, or like wouldn't say like don't go see this movie. But yeah, I certainly echo a lot of your sentiments, where it feels fairly standard with the addition of having Liam Neeson in your role as the lead. So, you know, it automatically makes the lead character quite compelling, just because he's able to show off his gravitas by speaking, as opposed to having to prove that he's like a tough guy or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I like writer-director Scott Frank. He adapted it. It was based off a novel. But I like Scott Frank quite a bit. And I rewatched The Lookout this week, actually. I know, Abe, you're a big fan of The Lookout.
Oh, yeah, The Lookout, yeah.
You know, with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. That was Scott Frank's first film as a director. And you see that movie, and it's like, yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff going on, and it feels like a fresh take within the kind of neo-noir zone. This just isn't really fresh. Like, it's a very traditional story, and it just doesn't have a lot to really add to it besides this Liam Neeson character. And it made like decent bucks this weekend, but I mean, I'd be surprised if it got, because there's like a whole series of these novels, so I'm curious, I guess, if Neeson wants to like commit to being this character for like a number of more films of this nature. But you know, regardless, yeah, the movie's, it's all right. It's okay. It's I like that it was a detective story and not just like Liam Neeson beating up people again. That was
yeah. It's one of those that like if someone came up to me and they're like, I'm gonna go see this movie, I wouldn't discourage it, but it's one of those things that I wouldn't encourage. I mean, there's really not much. This September is
it's heating up more now than in the kind of early September / like mid August where just nothing was happening in theaters.
Yeah.
But since you guys talked about those movies, I will talk about This Is Where I Leave You. This is the film with a lot of people. Jason Bateman, Tina Fey, Corey Stoll, Adam Driver, Jane Fonda. I can keep going, but I'm going to stop. It's
Tina Fey.
Yeah. I said Tina Fey.
Oh, okay.
I said that a second. This film, it's like a family comedy drama that, similar to Walk Among the Tombstones, actually, that you've seen before. It's not really original or fresh in any way. It tries to get by in its cast, but the main problem is there's too many people in this movie. I love this cast. It's a great cast of actors, of people that I enjoy seeing in films and whatnot, but there's so many of them that it just ends up overcrowding the film, where if you separated some of these people, it might make for an interesting movie, but most of these characters aren't that interesting to begin with. You have like Jason Bateman, who's the lead, who's ostensibly the lead character, who like discovers his wife is cheating on him, and at the same, like within like hours, he also finds out his dad died, so he has to go back home with like his brothers and sister, and they're all basically forced to sit in they're sitting shiva at their childhood home as they kind of pay respects to their father and whatnot for like a week, and it's white people problems. That's the movie. Like, that's what it comes down to.
Like,
that's really what it is. I mean, it's not like really intense drama. It's more of like, oh.
So I'm guessing that you and I wouldn't really relate to it.
No, it's just more of a general way to write off the movie, because there's not much there. Like, there's some plot. Like, there's a plot involving Tina Fey and Timothy Oliphant's character. And Timothy Oliphant is like the next door neighbor who used to have a relationship with Tina Fey, and then
this sounds like too many characters.
It does, because you didn't even realize Timothy Oliphant was in it until
I said so. I didn't know that.
So like he is like he's probably the most interesting character in the movie, but he only gets, you know, in the amount of this 2-hour movie, he gets like 10 minutes. So it's like, all right, well, I could have seen that movie on its own, but instead we have like a lot of these little subplots crammed together, and they just don't really, it doesn't flesh out overall. Like it's funny, it has its moments. Like the trailer reveals a lot of those moments, so it's a little unfortunate there. But I mean, it's good enough in terms of like a light comedy. It's just forgettable and not really essential in any way. It's certainly not a award contender by any means. It's just more of a, hey, here's a thing adults could go see at some point. So yeah, this is where I leave you.
Gotcha.
I also saw Whiplash, but we'll get to that another time.
We'll have to get to that another time.
So yeah, that was that. Now, quickies.
Jim.
Let's move on now. Let's get to our movie trailer talk, where each week we can discuss one of the new movie trailers that have recently come out and when they're coming out and what we thought about them and what have you. And this week we're talking about Men, Women, and or Children? No, it's just Dance.
Ampersand.
This is the new film from Jason Reitman, who decided, hey, Labor Day was probably not good. I should make another movie and have it out in the same year. I think that was the logic. It features a host of people, actually. Adam Sandler, Jennifer Garner, Emma Thompson, Judy Greer, Dean Norris of Breaking Bad fame, and Ansel Elgort of The Fault in Our Stars. That's just a fun name to say. Ansel Elgort. You really want to pronounce that Elgort.
He's from the 15th century.
That's what it is. Also, J.K. Simmons, Rosemary DeWitt. There's a lot of people in this movie. This is the new film from Jason Reitman. It seems like it looks like an examination of kind of technology and social media in today's culture. Combined with what that does to people's relationships with one another from various perspectives. And with all that said, let's start with Jordan. Jordan, what do you think of the trailer for Men, Women, and Children?
Yeah, so I actually saw this one right before Walk Among the Tombstones, which I thought was an odd matchup for trailer. But to me, it seems kind of exactly like what you were saying for This Is Where I Leave You, where there's a ton of people in it. And when you get a movie with that many people in it, it's hard to organize everything in a way that's efficient for movie making, but also that makes a good movie. And that's kind of the sense that I got from the trailer. It definitely had some, I guess, interesting aspects to it from my standpoint, but it just seemed like there were too many people in it for me. And I also thought that some of the characters, like Jennifer Garner's character, was just so far extreme. Like just the mom who's like, okay, now let me see your phone, and just going through every single one of that girl's interactions online.
Right.
It's like, that's not something that really, I mean, sure, there's people like that out there, but that's not something that really that many people can relate to. That's just such an extreme version of something. So I don't know. That was my opinion of it. It looks interesting. If it started getting some good reviews, I might check it out, but it looks like kind of a hodgepodge of, looks a little messy, I guess is the easiest way to put it.
Are you a Jason Reitman fan?
Not particularly. I don't think I'm familiar with too many of his films, but like
Juno and Up in the Air and
Labor Day.
Labor Day. Right.
Up in the Air, I never saw.
Did he do Thank You for Smoking?
Thank You for Smoking. Yeah.
Yeah, I never saw that one either.
That's a good one. Recommend
Abe?
It.
Abe.
These types of movies kind of depress me, primarily because of it kind of brings to light the darkness that kind of is all throughout our lives, with technology and texting and social networking and the way that you appear online.
You call that darkness?
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. I mean, there was like another film that I thought of. I can't remember. Is it Disconnect?
Disconnect from last year with Jason Bateman.
Yeah. And that stuff kind of just, it kind of makes me sad just to, you know, whenever someone gets cyberbullied to the point where he's going to get put on blast at his high school or whatever, and then people starting affairs and relationships just because they can't really communicate that well or they never really wanted to be in a relationship in the first place. But for the most part, I do think that it looks very busy. There are a lot of people in here. And also Ansel Elgort and I think her face is Caitlin Dever.
Yeah.
Those people are like in a lot of teen movies this year alone. And last year, and they're just really taking over everything along with Chloe Grace Moretz. So I kind of get their movies confused from time to time. It's kind of interesting that they're so popular.
I have a weird aside about Chloe Grace Moretz. Just brought up her name. I was like scanning, I was just like cruising on channels. I was on HBO and I saw it. Big Mama's House 2 was on. And not only, that movie has Chloe Grace Moretz, Kat Dennings, and the boy from Looper.
The
little boy from Looper.
The Rainmaker?
Yeah, the Rainmaker. I was like, wow. I saw all three of them in the 30-second span of the movie of Big Mama's House 2 that I watched. It's like, what's happening right now? Anyway, back to this movie, Men, Women, and Children. I'm kind of in between on this one. On the one hand, I am a big fan of Jason Reitman. I'll give him the Spider-Man logic of everybody gets one, so I'll give him Labor Day. That's whatever. But every other one of his movies I really enjoy quite a bit. And with that, I think he tends to have a kind of more stylized take on a world, which is, you can kind of see that in Juno, especially because of the dialogue and whatnot, but even in Up in the Air, the way it's filmed, and Thank You for Smoking is a satire, obviously. So, I mean, it's all those things I think contribute to how this movie plays out, where you're taking this kind of world of where it's social media, like it's pushed to the nth degree. At the same time, I wasn't a big fan of Disconnect last year, and the topic of this kind of movie of, like, look at where we are right now, just kind of, I feel like I get the point of it in, like, a couple minutes, so I don't know if I need an entire movie to explain to me, like, go really in-depth on the motif of technology and social media affecting today's culture. Like, I don't know how interesting that inherently is to me, so it kind of throws me, like, one way or the other, so I'm just more curious to see if Jason Reitman can pull it off. He wrote and directed this. It's based off a novel, apparently. And I'm more curious. I like that. It's nice that Adam Sandler's trying a drama again. That's a nice change of pace after nobody goes to see his dramas, so he goes back to doing terrible movies. And
yeah.
So we'll see. I guess I'm in a big wait and see mode, but I'd like to be optimistic about it. So I'm cautiously optimistic, I guess I would say. And, Men, Women, and Children opens October 17th. I'd imagine a limited release will probably spreads further from there at that point. And, yeah, so that's that. Let's move on now. Let's do it, Abe. Here we go.
All right.
We're in the cage, me, you, and Jordan. We're in the cage. We're rising up in the elevator, and we're going to get to
what's happening.
Right, yeah, it's happening right now.
Hold on, got to throw up some water.
And we're getting to our main review of The Maze Runner.
We don't belong here. Somebody built the maze. I think it's time we find out what we're really up against.
You're not like the others. You're curious.
What the hell is that?
This is the first real clue. You found it. Who knows where this might lead us?
It's a girl.
Thomas.
Everything started changing the moment you showed up.
What if we were sent here for a reason?
The doors aren't closing.
They're here.
That should have been some of the trailer for The Maze Runner. This is a new film based off a novel by, I forgot the name, Josh. What is it?
Looking it up right now.
James Dashner.
James Dashner. Okay, start that over. That should have been some of the trailer for The Maze Runner. This is the new film based off the novel by James Rat Dashner. The film, it's set somewhere at some time. It focuses on a group of boys that have been placed into a mysterious environment surrounded by a giant maze. These kids have no memory of who they are with the exception of their own names. Our lead character, Thomas, with little desire to sit around, does what he can to find a way out of their strange prison, which involves exploring the maze with the other runners and staying away from the giant mechanical spiders that lurk within it. Jordan, what is your relationship with the book series, and what do you think of this film?
So, my relationship with the book series is one that I honestly just started it about a month ago. It was one of those things where I've kind of been looking for some books to read, so in order to get ahead of some of the movies that are coming out, I decided to read Maze Runner and Gone Girl before their movies came out, which, on the other hand, Gone Girl is an awesome book, so looking forward to that movie, but I digress. So Maze Runner, read the book and absolutely fell in love with it. I kind of try to test out most young adult novels, even though I'm a little bit over the age group. I find that they're just easy reads for me in the morning when I'm going to work and when I'm coming home after work. I like most of them. I mean, Hunger Games is probably one of the better ones. Harry Potter, obviously, is probably the best one. Read the Divergent series, and that was more or less I liked it. There's some issues with it, though. But The Maze Runner is quickly becoming one of my favorites. So I basically powered through the books, or a couple of the books. I'm on the third one right now.
How many books are there?
So I think there's – I haven't been able to figure that out. I think there's three trilogy ones, and then I think that there's a fourth one that's a prequel.
Ah, okay.
That's my understanding of it. So I think I'm like on the last one of the trilogy. I don't know. So, but I'll read the prequel as well eventually. So yeah, and it's just, it's one of those series that you kind of worry after the first one is so good, like, oh, this is going to go downhill, 'cause he's just trying to milk it. And I thought the second one was just as good as the first, and the third one is still really good. The third one is a lot different than the first two, kind of like with the Hunger Games series, but, it's still really good for what it is. So, to be honest, I was kind of nervous going into the movie because I feel like, for some reason, the only movie I could think about was, like, the Mortal Instruments movie. And I didn't read that series or even see the movie. I just know how terrible it turned out. And I was really nervous that this was going to be kind of that scenario. But I just think the movie did a really good job at capturing the book. I know that some of the issues that, like, mainstream critics are having with it are kind of some of the same issues that people have with the book. More or less, it's basically page for page what the book is, except for a few small changes here and there. Even the ending is basically, like, the ending of the movie is essentially exactly where the book ends. So I thought in that regard, sometimes, I mean, that's how adaptations live or survive with their fans, is basically the accuracy. So in that regards, it did a good job, and everything that it changed, I think, was a decent change. There's some elements, in Dashner's books that are kind of a lot more fantasy based, especially like how they escape the maze or anything like that, any opportunity they have. So the changes to the story in that sense, where they kind of make it a little bit more based in reality, I approved of. But yeah, I thought it was a really well done movie, and I use the term in my review is kind of one of my quiet favorites of this year so far, and I could see it growing on me with the months to come.
All right, Abe, you yeah. You have not read these books.
I have not.
You didn't know there were sequels.
I clearly didn't know there were three or more.
What did you think of the film The Maze Runner?
So I thought the film was actually pretty solid. I thought that the direction was really good. The visual effects were good, especially like the busted up guts from the, I don't know.
The Grievers?
Mechanical tarantula Grievers. The acting was pretty good too. I thought that there was a lot of, good acting from the child actors, and from the adults. The adults kind of come on just on screen. But there was a lot of intrigue in the story, and the way that they kept on enticing you to want to learn more and they fed you bits and pieces without having you go blank, like something like Divergent, where, again, we talked about, they never talk about what's beyond the fence. They only worked on what was inside, and finally at the end of the film, they kind of bring that up very slightly just to tease you into the next ones. But for this, I kept on thinking, what is beyond the maze?
Hope you're not afraid of heights. Let's go. Come on. This is all we got. What's out there? We only have three rules. First, do your part. Second, never harm another glader. Most importantly, never go beyond those walls.
You know, and then, you know, you have folks like Minho, who was one of the runners, and you find out later, you know, that they go through and they try and map the maze as much as they can. And that brought a lot of intrigue because that leads them to more plot development. But for the most part, I thought that it was really solid just because they didn't really take things, they didn't take an easy way out, which is perhaps toning the film down so that it could be more approachable for all sorts of audiences. If this is true to the books, then I'm sure that the books are something that also have this level of violence and this level of, you know, like death.
Seriousness.
Yeah, serious. Exactly. Like these darker tones to it. And that I pretty much appreciated. So I thought that was a really solid effort. And this is like a first time director from Wes Ball as well, which kind of blew me out of the water. I was like,
I mean,
wow,
yeah, he's had a lot of kind of visual effects and art
right.
production experience, but yeah, for a first-time director, I agree. This is the part where I say that Abe and I do not discuss what we think of these movies
no,
beforehand, just to keep a surprise between
each
reviews.
Other.
Yeah, so it is. It's fun to say, yeah, I liked it too. It unfortunately means that we don't have a dissenting opinion in this conversation that we can further debate the quality of this movie with. But at the same
that's
time,
that's our other podcast that's coming out soon.
Yeah, yeah, it's called Dissenters with Aaron and Abe. But yeah, I dug this movie quite a bit. I think, and in fact, I would say like the first like 5 minutes, that cold open of the film, is like some of the best like action filmmaking I've seen like this year in terms of kind of setting up a mystery, like adventure filmmaking, I guess, in terms of like setting up a mystery, intrigue, making you very disoriented, getting you like into like this crazy reality that you don't understand. Like, I think this is just absolutely fantastic. The rest of the movie, pretty good too. I was quite surprised, actually. I didn't think I was going to hate this movie by any means, but I certainly didn't know how much I would appreciate it. And while I wouldn't say it's like up to par necessarily with something like the like Catching Fire or something like that, or you know, like the better Harry Potter movies, I would say it's certainly a solid entry in this kind of YA film adaptation world, mainly because the kind of world building where it doesn't take an hour for you to understand like what's going on before it like throws you into the chaos of everything. It just kind of throws you right in right from the beginning. And there's kind of expository moments, obviously, just because you need some kind of understanding of what's going on, but it keeps moving. The plot rarely stops. There's a lot of action in here. Wes Ball, who's, you know, had visual effects experience, he shows a good talent for how to portray action on screen as far as kind of running crazily through mazes go. And as far as the actors go, like, I wouldn't say these characters are the most well-defined, with the exception of like a couple, but I still appreciated a lot of what at least like three of them were giving. Like, cause I like the lead. I like Thomas quite a bit. He walks the line between being bland action guy and someone I care about. But for the most part, I like this like crazy running style where his just arms are flailing. Cause it seemed like he was actually in danger. That was the impression I got. So I'm like, good on you. You look like there's things chasing you in the world where I know it's nothing but green screens around you. You actually look like you're being chased by a mechanical spider. So good job.
He's the next Tom Cruise sprinter, huh?
Yeah, yeah. He's in the camp. Well, Tom Cruise sprinting, his arms are like, he doesn't flail. His arms are very like focused and straight.
They're very
like,
rigid.
Yeah, exactly. So he and like Robert Patrick T-1000, like they're in their own category of runners. But in terms of like balls out, like crazy running, like as if like a guy with a chainsaw is chasing you, that's the kind of running that I'd expect to see. So that's our other podcast, Running Opinions with Aaron and Abe.
We're reviewing the A6 GT2000 next time.
I like Will Poulter as an actor. In this film, he was really annoying to me just because he's the guy that's kind of naysaying everything, even though he's like the big tough guy. He's just like, we got to stay in the maze, guys. Everything bad's happening because Thomas showed, like, is that kind of character where it's like, all right, guy, like, when you want to get out, you want to stay back. I understand the purpose of his character, but it's like, okay. Beyond these like minor opinions on characters, though, I like this movie. I had a lot of fun with it. I thought it was a fun boys' adventure film, and it impressed me more than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those that, I mean, the novels themselves as well, they avoid, while there are some of those YA cliches in there, I think it avoids a lot of the typical cliches that we're used to and that I think a lot of people complain about,
like having a romance for no reason.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 2.5 books in and there is hardly any romance. I mean, there's female characters, yes. But it's nice to see that they're actually concentrating on the end of the world rather than their loins.
A female does come in this movie, like this, you know, giant group of boys. There's like one girl like is thrown into the mix. And while that character basically does nothing, it was also nice to see, like, at the same time, I complain about how thin that person was. In terms of character, not body size, whatever. I'm also happy to not complain that there's like just a romance or a love triangle thrown in for no reason. Like it's just right. Like, no, yeah, here's another person. Like whatever.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think of the adult action or the adult actors / the adult themes in the film of I guess what the world has come to?
I would say without going too far
speaking
into
of generalities.
I would say that I wasn't surprised by what the reveal is of like what was going on exactly. I'd say I've seen elements of that in other things, and I kind of had an assumption of why things were happening the way they were. Not like down to the, you know, to the T of exactly, but I mean, I wasn't like, it didn't blow my mind that this is the reason that this maze and these people exist in there. But at the same time, I was intrigued enough to want to, you know more about it, and the person they have to kind of explain things was like, oh, it's that person. All right, that's neat.
Yeah, it was one of those things that the ending and you get a lot thrown of you at the ending of this movie, similar to the book. You're kind of reading the book, and you're like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Like, all these things are being thrown at you as far as kind of reveals, and I think the movie did a really good job. For a second, I thought the movie was going to falter at the end. I don't remember like exactly what scene it was or anything, but I just remember sitting there and being like, oh, they're gonna mess this up, they're gonna mess this up, and they pulled it off pretty well, like especially when compared to the book. I had it visioned in my head a little bit differently, but for the most part they handled the ending well. And I think overall the intrigue for me for this movie is, I don't know if you guys ever saw Lost, but the whole series just kind of reminds me a lot of Lost, and this movie reminds me a lot of Lost, where it's just kind of compounding mysteries to the point where you just have all these questions, and I mean, some are answered in this movie, some will be answered in, I think the sequel is just announced today.
Yep.
Oh, nice.
I mean, they're just compounding mysteries, and having read the books, a lot of those have been answered, which is nice. It still remains to be seen if the book ends or the series ends on a high note. But yeah, it just really reminded me of Lost. I almost want I hope next time when they open the film, it'll be like a previously on Maze Runner.
More movies should have that in their sequels.
They really should.
I hope Avengers Age of Ultron has clips from every other Marvel movie.
The first 30 minutes is previously in Marvel Universe.
Previously on.
It's just like, it's Robert Downey Jr. doing like his Kiss Kiss Bang Bang narration as he recaps the movies from before.
It'd be amazing. Like all the movies.
Abe, that would be amazing. You're right.
Ha-ha!
I want to talk about the kind of you were mentioning the sequel aspect and the kind of where the film kind of leads off into it. I would say, I wouldn't say the film falters, but it certainly was less exciting for me in the last 5 minutes when it was doing the kind of obligatory sequel setup stuff. I understand that's kind of a requirement to an extent. But there is a point where the movie could have ended, where not necessarily that it makes it better, but there's a point where I thought it was going to end, and I was like, all right, that was pretty good. And then it was like, we get more of this.
So one of the things that I didn't know that there was more to this, so I thought it was all encapsulated in one. So when they finally got some understanding
these
of what the
teenagers taught you nothing, apparently, after the movie.
I was kind of disappointed, and then I realized, oh, right, there's more to it. And then there became some intriguing stuff with some of the adults and some of the motivations behind it and some of the video play that they have there. But for the most part, it was kind of a bummer that they had to set up for the second stuff. Because I think that what you're talking about, Aaron, is when they're just looking at a door.
Yeah.
And then and then you know somebody shows up from behind or something.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, well that would have been a cool way to end it. Because I would have
That's a way to end it. Again, I wouldn't say I would have loved that ending, but at the same time, I'd be like, all right, it's wrapped up. It's nice. Like, right. I did know that there were sequels to the book. I don't know where they'll go exactly, or if there's like a bigger maze or something that I don't know about. But we'll find out, I guess. But right, that'd be so uncreative. It's like, this is a maze again, but it's upside down.
What?
Also,
it's a merging of franchises where they run into the Hunger Games crew.
Yeah, the maze is slowly building with water. That's what it is. I'll say we mentioned that the sequel was announced. This movie did make 32 mil in chains this weekend, which is pretty solid given that the movie only cost 30 million to make.
Right.
Granted, there's advertising and whatnot, but for a movie to make its budget back in one weekend, that's pretty good, especially for a movie like this. And that's something I admired about it. I like that it's a fairly cheap movie. The effects look like effects. I won't say that I was ever like thinking, man, they're really in a giant maze right now. But at the same time, I thought they were, convincing enough for what they had to do, given that it's a fairly small scale movie. I mean, in terms of the scope of the plot and the story and the maze, that's large. But in terms of what they had to work with to make this come together, I like that they didn't like throw $100 million at this and hope that it worked. They threw a reasonable budget at it and made it work. And that's a lot of times that works the best, especially for like a rookie director where you're given only so many resources so you're not overwhelmed, and then you have a 3-hour Transformers movie. You have only so much to work with and you get out what you can. And I think it did a good job of that. I think that the action, as I said, is done well. I think there's enough kind of the visual aesthetic of this film would be that the glade, is that what that's called?
They call it the glade.
The glade, yeah. And the forest stuff. Like it works. It works for this movie. It makes it feels like in this world as best that they can do, even if the kind of the dark spider fighting scenes are at night and, not necessarily the most easy to decipher. I felt like there was still a level of tension there. And I thought that all added. That all made it a fairly immersive experience.
Yeah, I forgive that because the storyline was so intriguing. I was like, oh, well, this is just something that will take me to the next level of understanding what this maze is, how they can conquer it, and whatever else. So I was okay with it. But I do agree with you. That, hey, look, the budget is a little bit on the lower end, and they can't make you see these beautiful giant battles or whatever else.
Yeah, but I mean, I like again Dylan O'Brien's crazy arms as he's running around. Like,
I love how Minho's like, don't look back, but you see him look back every time.
I mean, I don't know how I'd react in that situation. Giant spider chasing me. Am I gonna look around or am I gonna keep running forward? I don't know.
What's also really cool, just this is box office talk, is all the three movies that came out this weekend, or the top three at least, and This Is Where I Leave You, Welcome Home, Tombstones, and Maze Runner, they're all kind of low budgeted, and they all kind of did fairly well for their low budgets, which I thought was pretty neat.
Oh, yeah, none of them really require. I mean, Maze Runner, yeah, is the biggest spectacle film. I think that's the most praiseworthy in that respect. But yeah, This Is Where I Leave You. That's more cooping the actor salaries and like the one location they use for the
house.
And walk among the tombstones, like, yeah, Neeson walks around New York a lot. Tusk bombed, by the way, Kevin Smith's Tusk, which was also had a fairly wide release for what it is. It did not do very well, which is not surprising necessarily given the subject of the movie, let alone the lack of marketing for it because of the kind of movie it is. But yeah,
people love Justin Long though.
You'd think that, but it's like in 14th place or something like that.
Yeah.
It's intriguing to me that none of these movies moved to that first week of September.
Yeah.
There was like not a single, the only wide release was The Identical, which I never even saw a trailer for. So I was like, I'm just not even going to go see it. And like, I don't know. I'm thinking like a Liam Neeson movie on a weekend all by itself would have done sweet.
Or this movie. Well. Like this movie did well for what it did, but I mean,
yeah, exactly.
For like the first week, I'm surprised it wasn't Labor Day. Actually, Maze Runner. Like it seems like a big enough
kind. It would have been
a big enough kind of movie where it would have had like a 3-day weekend mixed with the popularity of a YA novel and the fact that kids that are back in school or going back to school have a day off. Like the Maze Runner would have been a good movie to have.
I guess everyone's going to the lake though. Last vacation of the
everyone's going to that lake.
Yep, Lake Minnetonka.
We'll go with that. Blake Minnetonka.
It's in Minnesota.
What else? I like this cast for the most, not just like that, but in terms of like, hey, there's, you know, there's, we got a black guy, we got an Asian guy, we got a lot of.
Yeah, it's very like, diverse. And
it's mostly white people, but it's fairly diverse. It's fairly diverse.
They did a pretty good job, you know, not having these people as side characters or, you know, people who are, you know, impartial to the storyline.
I mean, Will
Poulter, Albie is the leader.
Albie's the leader. Will
Minho is like the lead runner.
Yeah, Minho is essentially the secondary lead in this movie. I mean, in terms of what he accomplishes. I mean,
Chuck is like, you know, some 7-year-old on the screen.
Truffle but shuffle.
Yeah.
That's all I could think about. I wish he would have done it just once.
Right. He's like, guys, wait, look at this. He does the truffle shuffle.
Amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, I mean, from a perspective of someone who's read the books, the casting was honestly probably one of the parts I was most impressed with.
Oh, okay, cool.
With the movie, especially Thomas. Like, I'd never heard of that kid before, and I'm always worried with kind of younger adult adaptations, the person they choose to lead it. Obviously, I mean, Hunger Games worked out pretty well for everyone, but I think there's a few others where they pick the wrong person, but this guy's Thomas, Dylan O'Brien, did really well. And really, everyone else was pretty much exactly how I imagined them in my head. I remember I was a little shocked to see Mino, because in the book, they kind of make him out to be a little bit beefier. But the guy, I warmed to him, and he did a good job as well. So I thought everyone did a pretty good job. Will Poulter, I agree. I think I liked how in this movie they kind of made him seem less of a villain a little bit. In the book, it kind of is less shades of gray. I like how the movie, they add kind of some argument to his actions.
Well, that's good to know. Yeah.
Because he brings up some pretty good points, too, of like, hey, look, guys, you know, we don't know what's out there. We've been here, but it's working because we have these rules. We have these laws.
He doesn't want to rock the boat. Like, I understand the perspective.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, he gets to points where it's like, okay, I mean, we left, and you're still, like, being the dick. Like, what are you doing? Like,
I made a movie with Jennifer Aniston, damn it.
Got to make out with Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, and seeing TLC Waterfalls.
Both of those things are worth praising. He's a big guy, too. Like, I've seen him in real life, and even this movie,
he looks really tall.
He is. He's a good, like, 6'3 or 6'4. He's, like, he's a tall guy.
Because he's towered over everybody in the movie.
Yeah. Even the spiders. I don't know. But, no, yeah, 6'2", 6'2", apparently. All right.
Yeah,
thanks,
bad.
IMDb.
Yeah.
All right, I think we've discussed thoroughly our thoughts on The Maze Runner, and with that, let's get to our rating for the film. Jordan, each week on Out Now for Aaron and Abe, we try to ask people, when should people go and see this movie?
I would go see it right now. September's a kind of a dull month right now, and there's really not much else better. I mean, out of the three movies I've seen in September right now, I would go see The Maze Runner again.
Abe?
Or you go see Guardians of the Galaxy again and then go see Maze Runner.
Yeah, see, we've done that enough. Like,
I think Aaron and I have combined have seen it like 7 times.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
Abe, your thoughts?
I definitely would say probably go see this during a dollar theater, kind of matinee showing.
Alright. I think if you want just like a fun action movie that you've seen Guardians enough, as we've established, this is a fun movie to go see in theaters. Matinee showing, sure, why not? Yeah. Would you say that you liked it more than you expected?
Yeah, I did. Because again, we've seen this string of YA stuff where it's
the
love interest is ridiculous, and then, you know, the storyline is overly ridiculous of these people all of a sudden they realize that they're in this world to survive, and they at 15 become the strongest person alive.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. Yeah. Although the chosen one, of course.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, no, I agree. I do think it was somewhat of a surprise, just because I didn't think it was going to be horrible, but I wasn't expecting to be entertained as much as I was by it. I saw a friend of the show, Scott Mendelson. We high-fived during watching it. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, again, I wasn't really surprised, but I was just super amazed by the intrigue of what this was, and that really kept me going. I mean, that gets a lot of points.
Yeah.
All right.
So I would put an addendum on it. It's one of those things that if you read the books and you're a fan, it's definitely one of the better adaptations of the book. If you haven't read the books and you don't know much about it, like you guys said, it's worth like a matinee checkout, see if it's your type of thing.
Well, it's good to know for people that, you know, are fans of this book series that they, you know, got a movie that actually resembles that. But I mean, I would say, I mean, I feel like the Hunger Games actually do a pretty good job of representing the books that they come from. And even, yeah. But regardless, in terms of the ones that I've read, yeah, I mean, whatever. But in terms of this movie, good. I'm glad that people that read the book will be, you know, satisfied.
Thumbs up.
Hopefully. All right, let's move on now. Let's get to movie callback.
Callback.
This is where we mentioned a few films that we might have thought of during or after the main movie of the week. Jordan, you already mentioned Lost, but were there any other movies or anything that you might have thought of while you're watching Maze Runner?
I mean, obviously the Hunger Games, there's always kind of comparisons going through my head with these other, you kind of start comparing to the first, I don't know, it's kind of like for me whenever I see a new origin of a new superhero, it's like, well, how did this compare to this superhero's first movie, like Man of Steel, The Batman Begins type thing. So for me, I was comparing a lot to the first Hunger Games and Lost. So essentially those two are the only ones that I can think of.
Cool. Abe?
I certainly thought of Lost too during the film, but I also thought of Hook and also the novel Lord of the Flies. I kept on looking for the Piggy character, although there really wasn't one. So Lord of the Flies.
Chuck.
he didn't have glasses and he wasn't like, you know, he wasn't like...
His tail wasn't curly enough, I get it.
Yeah.
Lord of the Flies came to mind, Lost came to mind, Hunger Games, obviously. I also thought of After Earth, actually.
Interesting.
I think because it's like it's a better version of this kind of boys' adventure story. Like, it's the kind of movie, you know, where more teenage boys, I think, would, you know, kind of respond to a movie like if me and you were like 13 watching this movie, we'd probably dig it a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel like After Earth was trying to go for that idea as well, and it just didn't pull it off all the way.
But that's that 15-year-old that is becoming a superpower warrior.
There you go. Yeah, he's becoming the chosen one with no fear. Yeah.
I'm a ranger. Sir.
And I thought of the old show, The Prisoner, actually, that show with Patrick McGoohan. It's this guy is trapped in this kind of in this intense sci-fi world, and there's giant bubbles. It's weird. It's a weird show.
Okay.
It's Lost from the 60s, basically. Gotcha. They remade it, actually, with, I think, Jesus himself, JC, Jim Caviezel.
I was like, who's like
JC?
Yeah.
Obviously, Abe.
Calling him that throughout the show?
What do you think, WWJD?
WWJD?
Well, yeah, what would Jim Caviezel do?
What would Jim Caviezel do? Yeah. He'd make a TV show.
Yeah, and you'd be like, oh, I got deja vu. Anyway, moving on. Let's get to our sponsor this week. Each week on Out Now, Farron and Abe, we are brought to you by Audible.com, audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast. You can go there. You can download an audiobook. There are over 150,000 titles to choose from. You can go to, as I said, audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast. And download a free audiobook. I have a book to recommend. It's called a little thing called The Maze Runner. You might have heard of it. It's by James Dashner. When Thomas wakes up in the lift, the only thing he remembers is his first name. His memory is blank, but he's not alone. When the lift's doors open, Thomas finds himself surrounded by kids who welcome him to the Glade, a large open expanse surrounded by stone walls. You might have heard of this movie. You might have heard of this book. But you can download it for free on Audible at audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast. You can download that book. You can check out the service. If you don't like the service, you can get rid of it, but you can keep the book that you downloaded for free anyway. So there you go. Be a winner. Read or listen.
Yay.
All right. That's out of the way. That's done, guys. We're done with that. We're done.
Thanks, Audible.
Yeah. Let's get to our feedback.
Feedback.
This is, of course, where we go over the various questions and answers that we received on our Facebook page, facebook.com/outnowpodcast, where we asked many questions and our listeners gave us responses. And we also asked for questions and we got some of those. So we'll answer those on the show as well. Jordan, feel free to answer any of these questions that we throw out there as well. Just, you know, because why not?
Will do.
And here we go. Here's the first one. With The Maze Runner opening this weekend, what are some of your favorite movies featuring characters trapped in an environment? April has, you know, mine is The Hunger Games. She also asked, what about Jumanji? Which I kind of said no, because you're not really like the guy's trapped, but he gets it. You don't really see that environment.
Well, you have to roll a 6 to get out of the game. Come on, Aaron. They're trapped in the game.
Well, you have to finish the game to get out of the game. You're trapped in the game, but I mean, Robin Williams is trapped inside the game, and he was. But you don't really see that. You just see him escape from that eventually. After years, and then she said Space Off, which actually is pretty cool because the prison.
Yeah, the floating prison.
Right? The floating prison, which is, I forget the name of it, but it's like an anagram for nowhere. I remember that.
I'm gonna look it up. I'll shut it out when I find it.
All right. Jason has Beetlejuice, which I thought was a great, clever answer, actually, because they're trying
to. That is pretty clever.
That's a good answer. Shelley has The Shining. Kara has Alive with Ethan Hawke. She also says Cube, the first one. He has cheese horror, but I dig it. Philip has Apollo 13 and The Raid Redemption. Both wonderful choices. Tyler has Saw. He has it in all caps, so I said it. Saw. That's how you say Saw in all caps. And then Justin has Just Saw Gravity. That was pretty good. Castaway and Jurassic Park.
Justin has some good answers there. Yeah, the first one that came to my mind was Gravity as well. Like, man, that would not be pleasant.
For some reason, I always think of Cube, and I don't even like Cube. But, like, I feel like someone trapped
in one with... That's not the one with Jennifer Aniston. Or, I'm sorry, Jennifer...
I'm going to say no, it's because it has no stars in it, but what are you thinking of?
What's the one with the... Oh, my gosh. Never mind. Jennifer the Black Girl and...
Jennifer Lopez?
Yeah. And
Vincent D'Onofrio?
Yes!
The Cell.
Yeah,
you're all thumbs today, huh?
Yeah,
Jenny from The Block Girl and Guy from Men in Black. Those are what you had.
I knew the movies.
The Cell, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
That's a good answer. I like that. Jordan, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think Gravity and The Raid came to mind, but one that I'm thinking of now, which, I mean, I pretty much always see if this is a movie that fits into any favorite list, is would Inception count?
Sure. Trapped in Dreams within Dreams.
Okay, then Inception, by far.
Some of them are trapped for much longer than you'd hope.
Yeah, exactly.
Centuries. Ages.
On the same subject, did anyone ever see Burial? Is that one with Ryan Reynolds, I think?
Oh, Buried.
Buried, yeah. Buried.
Yes, I did see that.
I never saw it. I was just curious, I guess.
It's okay. It's a good stylish exercise. I think
Ryan Reynolds does really good small independent movies that people don't really see, like Buried and The Nines.
I like him. Yeah, I like him much more as a dramatic actor than I do.
Yeah,
you should go see those
instead of going to see like X-Men Origins Wolverine.
I mean, I don't think anyone walked in there thinking, "Man, I can't wait for Ryan Reynolds in this movie." But Green Lantern, I think, is a better example of that. But...
There you go. Yeah, Green Lantern, where he's actually starring it. Yeah. All right. The next question we had, anyone have stories, personal or otherwise, about running? And we also mentioned that Aaron and I, we used to run track together, so there you
True.
Go. Yes. William writes, running makes my lungs hurt. It's also a pain in the ass trying to smoke a cigarette while running. So he's Ron Burgundy.
Thanks for that. He did run, though. Ron Burgundy didn't stop. He made
yeah,
it back.
No, he ran, and then he
He wasn't in time to stop Corningstone from reading his news, but I mean, he did run. He, like, pushed people out of the way and everything.
Indeed. Shalem writes, Run DMC were the best. That's a great answer. I don't know if he's talking about... No, I'm just kidding. And then Kara writes, only run when chased, which is, it's not bad. That's a good reason to run. And Philip writes, when I was on deployment in Okinawa, there was this anonymous dude who would run wearing a flak jacket, gas mask, and carrying a sledgehammer or something. It was weird.
I want to hear more of Philip's stories about him
I'd
being deployed in Okinawa.
About that too. Yeah. I was like, is this a true story?
Yes, it's a true story. It must be a true story. It
has to be.
I want to know more about this deployment.
It reminds me of like my Bloody Valentine 3D.
I didn't think that at all, but it does want me to hear more about Japan. What did that remind you about Bloody Valentine 3? Oh, because of
the gas mask.
Because of his actual story, not the tiny detail that he was in Japan while he's seeing this.
Yeah, no.
All right. You have any stories about running, Jordan? You're an active guy, actually. I'm aware of this.
I am. I don't know. Not about running, really. I remember when I was younger, I got chased by a firework on, like, the 4th of July.
Firework.
My dad says that's the fastest he's ever seen me run. So, yeah, it was like a heat-seeking firework, apparently. I have no idea, but that thing was tracking me down.
All right.
I lived, obviously.
Barely.
Well, next time we have a movie about, like, waterfalls or something, we'll talk about those stories that you might have.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. What are your favorite films about people that have lost their memory or their identity? Maria has Born Identity, but I have to say the book, not the movie. Louise has Memento. I have to go with the others as well. Ryan has The Born Identity. And I think Ryan actually had a birthday, like, a couple weeks ago or something. So happy birthday, Ryan. Philip has Pan's Labyrinth and Moon. Joe has Fight Club. Steven has Flowers for Algernon. And William has Memento again. So there we go.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that?
That's one that came to my mind was Memento.
Yeah, Memento seems like the obvious pick. Memento and Fight Club are ones that came to mind.
Flowers for Algernon is just really sad. Like, that's a sad story.
Actually, the moment I wrote Identity, I thought of the film Identity. So there you go.
With John Cusack.
Cusack and Leota.
Yeah.
And Jake.
Favorite quote from that movie? Whores don't get second chances. Which is a ridiculous line.
But said by the best. Said by the best character.
Yeah.
I like Identity quite a bit. Like I really like that movie. Like it's a fun like mainstream version of like an indie idea.
Yeah. Move on. All right. So questions we had from listeners, people such as you. Yes, you listening right now. Scott writes us, "Where's my other sock?"
Scott, I have to
tell you that it's probably in the laundry. Yeah. The laundry monster ate it.
The laundry monster. I think that's in Monster House, actually.
Oh yeah, we should watch that during Christmas.
Okay. Yeah, so Scott, just check the back of your laundry. You might be able to find it there.
Yeah.
It's these serious questions that really make our podcast shine, I think.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, this is a legitimate question. He's very concerned about his sock.
Yeah, speaking of legitimate questions. That's what we like to do on this. That's why we like getting iTunes reviews and ratings. I think all we do is try to give and help, and so we figure, why not give back? That's what I say.
What if you spend a lot of money on those socks, like the gold toe socks?
I have some gold toe socks.
Those are expensive socks.
Those are nice. There's a reason they're nice socks.
Yeah. They absorb your sweat.
That's part of it.
All right.
They also, you know, take your shoes off and people look down like, you know what? Nice socks, guy. And then you get a promotion. That's what happens.
True story.
True story. There you go.
I need to hear more of that.
No, we got to hear more about Okinawa first. So that's next week's podcast or whenever we get around to it. Speaking of Okinawa, Philip has a question. Has an adapt? That was a great segue. I nailed that one, by the way. Has an adaptation ever inspired you to go out and read the novel? If so, what's a good one? That's a good question. I like that one.
Yeah, I do like that too. I mean, something that you brought up recently, Aaron, was the Unbreakable trailer. And then you said the book was really good. So I bought the book.
Oh,
and
Unbroken.
I'm reading. Yeah, Unbroken. Yeah. And I'm reading the book right now.
Yeah, cool. Fight Club is actually my example. I mean, Fight Club's obviously, but I announced it as my de facto favorite movie that I, you know, move around. And I saw that movie before I read the book, and I read the book because I would, you know, love the movie so much, and I love the book just as much.
Great.
I would say for me, trailers usually get me enough. I'm a little bit of a trailer whore sometimes, so. Sometimes they get me to get into the series enough, like Maze Runner and Gone Girl and stuff. But I think the most recent one that comes to mind as far as one that I started watching first before I read the book was probably Game of Thrones. But
nice. That's
a beast of a series to be like, I think I'm going to go read that.
Well, you know what they say, Jordan? Trailer whores don't get a second chance. I know, yeah.
Go see Identity, people, so you can know what we're talking about.
That's certainly a factor. I mean, trailers or, you know, just the announcement of certain movies make you think, maybe I should go read that book before I go see the movie. If I had more time, I would have read Gone Girl at this point, but I didn't.
Yeah, if I had more time, I would have read Alexander and the No Good, Horrible, Terrible, Very Bad Day.
Yeah, that'll take you like 4 months, probably, because it's a big book.
That is, yeah. That's what I've been told. I think it was written by Victor Hugo. That guy writes really long books.
Yeah, and it took, I mean, Steinbeck's version of Where the Wild Things Are, that took me like 17 months to read.
Holy crap. I gotta go see that.
But do you have any, can you think of any examples of like a movie that you saw and then you read the book?
I know that there's a lot of them out there. Like, I have to say.
I have like a weird, it's not an example exactly, it's more of, I read Heart of Darkness, and then I saw Apocalypse Now, but I didn't realize the two were, you know, the same. I didn't realize that Apocalypse Now used the narrative of the Heart of Darkness. And so, like, watching the movie, I was like, wait a minute, there's a lot of familiar things going on here. Then there's, like, some exact lines of dialogue. It's like, okay, I see what you did. Good job, Francis Ford Coppola. I said 20 years after that movie came out.
You made the connections later in life. That's totally okay. Hard for me to say. I'm like taking a look at these list of books here.
Did you see To Kill a Mockingbird and then read the book?
Well, I mean, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Grapes of Wrath and then read the book?
No.
All right, we'll pass it. It's all right.
Yeah.
If you think of one, just shout it out, but don't reference what we're talking about. Just shout out a title and I'll understand.
I agree.
Okay. It's our favorite way of doing things.
Our next question is from Mercedes. What modern film would be neat to see back in the day, like a retro remake?
So, like, a movie
it's a modern movie, but then they made it back in, like, the 20s?
Well, say, like, it's a remake of a movie, but instead of, like, a remake of an old movie, it's a remake of a new movie from back then. Like, say you, like, remade Inception in the 1940s, that kind of thing.
That'd be great.
Actually, that's a cool idea. Actually, right there.
I was going to say, there's my choice.
Yeah. Humphrey Bogart? Just like, no, we have to. I can't do Humphrey Bogart.
See, mine would just, like, it would diverge into a James Cagney impression, so I can't do Bogart very well.
I would have, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but in the 1950s.
So it'd just be, like, cardboard turtles.
No. It's actually just pillows in somebody's back. They just, like, put rags on their faces.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I nailed it with Humphrey Bogart.
That's pretty good.
Inception in the 40s with, like, Humphrey Bogart as Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah. It's just a dream.
Yeah. That'd be great.
You'd have, like, you'd have Lauren Bacall as Marion Cotillard's character. You'd have, like, a really young, I don't even know who would play Ellen Page. I don't, regardless, this is a good
somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. Ernest Borgnine would be in there somewhere. It'd be great.
It'd be kind of cool to see some of the newer James Bond films remade, like with Sean Connery. Even though I really like Daniel Craig, I just think it'd be interesting to see what Sean Connery could have done with, like, a serious tone.
A more serious. I mean, yeah, well, like, you watch him now, serious. I guess. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Well, something like from Russia with Love has, like, very little camp in it. It's just more played. It's played like a Hitchcock film, really. But, like, yeah, Goldfinger certainly is more of, like, an out and out Bond movie of what you kind of stereotypically think of as a Bond movie.
Yeah.
Let's go, like, really. Let's look, like, really early, like something crazy, like really early. Like something now that you see, like, in the 30s. Like some, like, visual effects extravaganza.
Oh,
Gravity.
There you go.
Gravity, exactly. Yeah.
Gravity with, like, Buster Keaton. He's, like, walking on his side to make it look like his face. I like this question. We'll come back to this.
Yeah, well, this will be like our, this is gonna, like, be an ongoing question.
Yeah, this will be a good one to think of. All right, last one. This one's from Matthew. He has an important colon question.
Oh, Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. There you go.
Which is the book that I read after I saw the movie.
I told you not to shout out what it was.
I know, but it's made sense for both questions. This made sense for both questions, which I had to clarify which one I was going for.
Okay, fair enough. I'll allow it. You're back next week.
Thank you.
Okay. Matthew has an important colon question. As people that listen to Out Now with Aaron and Abe regularly know, Abe and I like to pronounce the punctuation in our movies, because why not?
Why not?
So, yeah, here he says, I have an important colon question and not the kind you asked your doctor. Thank you. He wrote thank you. He basically wrote a look to the camera. That's what he wrote just then.
Breaking the fourth wall.
He wrote a breaking the fourth wall. He asks, when episode 7 comes closer, how will you say the title? In the actual logo for Star Wars film titles, no punctuation is used, but in newspaper articles, press releases, marquees, etc., colons are often inserted. So will you say Star Wars colon episode 7 colon Revenge of Jar Jar Binks, or whatever it might be called, or Star Wars episode 7 colon Revenge of Jar Jar Binks, or something else entirely? That is an excellent
Thank
question.
Thank you for this question, Matthew. And that we know that you're listening because you pay close attention.
I will say that I will say that Abe and I have been, we've spent a lot of time discussing. We've gotten to really serious arguments about how to pronounce the next Star Wars movie, because we don't know what it's going to be titled, and colons are a very tricky subject. I think Abe and I at this point are thinking something along the lines of Lucasfilms presents J.J. Abrams Star Wars colon episode 7 colon whatever the title might be. I think
actually
that's
be Lucasfilms LTD period presents.
Oh, see, that's part of our arguments right there. God, right. I told you, we don't need LTD.
You've opened up a can of worms here, Matthew. Look what you did.
Okay. Let's cool our jets.
Yeah.
Let's cool them down. Art. Let's cool them down right now.
You're just man.
We'll let you know when it happens, because when the title we'll just have a special pod. We'll have a 2-minute podcast going over the title of episode 7 when it gets announced. So we'll put it on the Podomatic exclusively. It'll be great. But for the time being, let's just say there's going to be a lot of colons. There's going to be a lot of names, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Might even be a hyphen in there.
Don't even see. Oof. You're gonna make me so mad right now.
All right. Jeez, I'm sorry. Okay. Calm down. It's Sunday.
It is Sunday.
Going off of that, what are you guys? How are you guys gonna say the new Batman movie?
Oh, we've been doing that. Abe and I've already got. Yeah, it's Batman v Superman colon Dawn of Justice. That's easy. We've had that going since the title was announced. It was
that's down pat.
We cut a ribbon. It happened. Yeah. All right. So that was out. Now feedback.
Feedback.
Thank you, everybody, for participating on our Facebook page. Lots of fun always as adults. And now I think, Abe, what time is it?
Aaron, I think it's time for some games!
Wow.
Wow, you ran through a maze to get to that one.
That's right, I did.
Yeah, indeed.
I ran it with Algernon, actually.
Aw. I've actually got a two-part game for you guys today.
Ooh.
Because I couldn't come up with enough questions on the fun game. So
you have a less fun game to ask.
Yeah, you know, it's one that we play more often. But the fun game is Before and After, where I read you guys a clue, which has two movie titles blended together, and you have to tell me the new movie title.
Do you have an example offhand that you should always have so we know how to play this game?
Sure. I should have thought of one, but... Okay, so, you know, you made this movie called The Maze, and...
Like, you know, there's an arachnid superhero and a documentary about the two towers, and you call it Spider-Man on Wire.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Right? Okay, good. Got it.
So, you know, you make Spider-Man and Man
I should
on
really
Wire.
Make this game. I came up with that off the bat.
Yeah. These are fun, yeah.
I should do that game myself.
Maybe so, this is a game starring the words maze and the words runner. So... four questions here, and then we'll move into another game called On a Scale Of, which will be on a scale of the Rotten Tomatoes meter for some of the actors in The Maze Runner. And you guys will have to give me what the percentage is of the film that they're in.
I can see how working with just the words Maze and Runner made you only have four questions to have in this game.
Yeah, it was very difficult.
Okay.
All right, here we go. First question, and you can buzz in by saying your name, and then you can say your answer. First question. Four Jamaican bobsledders attempt to survive a public execution disguised as a game show.
Okay, Aaron.
Aaron.
Cool. Well, it doesn't fit because it's plural. Cool Runnings Man.
That's correct.
It should be the cool Running Man because it's Running Man.
But I like the Runnings Man.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I would have accepted Cool Runnings Man.
That's fair. Okay. You got me.
Next question.
I'm looking at the judges. They're nodding, so yeah, okay, that's good.
Thanks, Alex Trebek. Next question. These claymation chickens attempt to escape being turned into pies by using math and poker tricks learned by Justin Timberlake and Ben Affleck.
Chicken runner, runner.
That is correct.
There you go.
You're on the board, Jordan.
Oh, Jordan, by the way.
Oh, I got you. Next question. Just imagine having to steal 100,000 Deutschmarks in 20 minutes before turning 30.
Oh, just okay. Okay.
All right.
Deutschmarks.
Are you buzzing in, or is Jordan?
I'm not buzzing in yet, but I see where you're. You can say it again if you want.
Just imagine having to steal 100,000 Deutschmarks in 20 minutes before turning 30.
I know the second part, but how does that? Let's see. Deutschmarks. Who's stealing Deutschmarks? They have
in
euros.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The
Logan's Run Lola Run.
You said it backwards. That's why I wasn't thinking of it.
It was a brain teaser.
That's not how it works.
Abe gets that point. All right, and the
I thought it was supposed
one...
to connect. Like, what movie ends with the word Logan? That's what I was thinking.
Sorry. The judges have nodded that Abe is okay.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, judges. All right, last one for this particular set. Can you imagine having to track down four replicants in rural Montana as the son of a Presbyterian minister who loves fly fishing? Can you imagine trying to track down four replicants in rural Montana as the son of a Presbyterian minister who loves fly fishing?
Is it backwards again?
No, this one's actually just lame.
Oh, okay. I agree so far.
Blade Runner Fargo?
This one's a bad one anyway. I couldn't figure out anything.
River's Edge? The other one?
A Blade Runner River runs through it.
That's terrible. A Blade Runner River. That doesn't connect. That's just two things smashed together.
I was grasping at straws there at the end. Anyhow,
that's like saying The Dark Knight Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
I would watch that movie.
I would watch that movie. I'd watch the crap out of that movie.
All right, moving on a scale of.
So how does this? Okay, so what are we? So there's a scale. What scale is?
This is the Rotten Tomatoes scale.
So we're trying to guess the Rotten Tomato review score of certain movies.
Correct, yeah. So Dylan O'Brien had a movie called The Internship, and what was the percentage on Rotten Tomatoes? Aaron?
The Internship, which sucked. I will say 42%.
Okay. Jordan?
Yeah, I know that's where, like, the Metacritic score is, but I think I'm going to say 35.
35. Jordan, you are closest to it. It was 34%.
Oh, okay.
So, there you go.
I was giving that movie too much credit.
Next one, Will Poulter plays Galley. The Chronicles of Narnia, : The Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
My favorite book in that series. And by default, my favorite movie in that series. Let's see. Voyage of the Dawn Treader. I feel like that did better.
Was that the...
That was
I
the
thought
third
there
one.
Were only two.
No, that's the third one. There's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, obviously, and then there's Prince Caspian. And then there's The Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Alrighty. I never knew that one.
Let's see. I'm gonna say 67%.
Okay.
I will go with 55.
55. Jordan, you win that one. It was 49%.
Oh, wow. It's low. Okay.
Yeah.
I liked that movie.
All right. Here's
what the other ones do. What did Prince Caspian do?
Prince Caspian? I will look it up.
I'll look up Witch in the Wardrobe, which I think is like in the 70s, if I had to guess.
Prince Caspian had 67%.
Wow, people like that. That movie's not very... I mean, it's a very PG-13, PG movie because people get into head... Yeah, 76 for Wardrobe, that's what I thought. 76. Which I was not a big fan of. I was alone that winter. I was
not a big fan of that young girl eating all the cherries.
There was a lot of things I didn't like about that movie.
Tilda Swinton's pretty good.
She's Tilda Swinton. But I was sitting there because I saw Syriana, and then I jumped to Lion, the Witch of the Witch.
Completely like, opposite.
I was like, well, I like Syriana.
All right. Moving on.
Yeah.
With three more. Moon, with Kea Scodelario, who plays Teresa in Maze Runner.
Or the movie Moon.
The movie Moon, with friend of the show Sam Rockwell.
Oh, I'll go 87. It's probably 87. Higher.
Okay.
I'll do 83.
And by default, Jordan, you get this one too. It's 80%.
Oh, my. Okay.
Yeah. Aaron is really great in the IMDb.
The stuff. IMDb is like crushed.
That's why I switched over to Rotten Tomatoes here. All right. And then two from Patricia Clarkson, who plays Ava in Maze Runner. The Pledge. With Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson, The Pledge. I'll say 59.
Okay. And Jordan?
47.
47. By default, Aaron, you get this one. It's 78%.
Oh, wow. People like this one. Okay.
Yeah.
I knew it was like a good movie. I wasn't sure if it was like a mix to good in terms of the review stuff. But
yeah, Rotten Tomatoes is kind of funky sometimes. Or
people should see The Pledge, by the way. It's a good Jack Nicholson movie where he's not playing Jack Nicholson.
And lastly, Jumanji, which we brought up earlier, which also has Patricia Clarkson in it.
Who did she play in it?
She played his mom, I want to say.
Really?
Yeah, I think she was like the wife or the mom or something.
That's fair. Yeah. I know she's not, because I know Bebe Neuwirth is the real estate agent because he has the last name of Neuwirth. So, Jumanji, which I hate a lot, but I won't.
You do.
Yeah, I've mentioned this plenty of times. I'll say 40.
40%. Okay.
I'll go 44.
And 44. So by default, you get this one too, Jordan. It's actually 50%.
50. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Jordan kind of swept away here in Rotten Tomatoes on a scale of game. So by default, he actually, or not by default, by actual tallies, he wins games this week.
Yeah, she is the mom. But yeah, good job, Jordan.
Thank you.
You already secured your spot coming back, though.
Yeah, like he's basically just assuring that he'll have multiple times on this podcast. <by this. Yeah. laughs> Whether he likes it or not, that's the real takeaway from that. We'll just force him.
Oh, God.
We'll shove him into our maze. but yeah, that was games. Good job, Abe.
Like, thanks.
That was fun. Let's do a little Out Now Presents What's Out Now. These are movies that are coming out on Blu-ray, DVD, or streaming this week. First up, Abe and I are going to be big on talking about this one. It's The Signal.
Yeah, go see it.
The Signal, this awesome little sci-fi movie that came out.
Interviewed the writers of the film.
Yeah, The Signal, cool little sci-fi movie. We had a chance to interview the writers of the film, which was awesome. And yeah, it's a good movie to go check out for, you know, being a little movie made for nothing. It's certainly solid. Speaking of little nothing movie, The Rover comes out this week. This is with Guy Pearce and Robert Pattinson.
I heard mixed things.
I enjoyed it, kinda. It's like the existential version of Roadrunner, is what I called it.
Roadrunner.
Roadrunner. Yeah, the coyote and the Roadrunner. No, the Road Warrior, I'm sorry. But I think it's worth checking out, I guess, if you're into, if you want to see something much more low key but still like weirdly sci-fi, but kind of. But yeah, also coming out, Neighbors, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah, it's fun.
Jordan, were you a fan of Neighbors?
Yeah, I love Neighbors. That was so funny.
Yeah,
I was really impressed with Zac Efron in that movie too. I've always kind of defended him, but yeah. I liked him in that movie.
I have too, because I have nothing against the guy. Like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, and I think this is kind of the perfect kind of role for him, where like that awkward moment I was not a fan of because he was too much of the kind of like bro persona, but this one it's like this fits, this like this works for me. Also coming out this week, Halloween: The Complete Collection. For many people, this is a big. For many horror fans, this is a big deal because not only does every single Halloween film with Michael Myers, of course, come out onto Blu-ray this week, but it includes the producer's cut of Halloween: The Curse of Michael Myers, which has never been seen in like in easily viewable form, along with just like a bevy of special features for all 10 of these movies. Like a whole bunch of extras, new interviews, new commentary, just all kinds of stuff. And I'm a huge Halloween fan. I like that in terms of like these kind of slasher movie series. I like Halloween more than Friday the 13th and the Nightmare on Elm Street series. I'm a huge Halloween fan. So
it freaks me out a lot, primarily because the first film is just a crazy brother that comes back to go find his sister.
I mean, yeah, the first film's obviously the highlight of the series.
Yeah, that freaks me out.
But as far as a lot of these movies, sequels aren't always, you know, the greatest. And I actually am a big fan of a majority of the films in this series, so I'm very happy. Season of the Witch. also coming out this week, speaking of horror collections, we have The Saw Complete Collection coming out, and The Exorcist.
Never seen any one of those.
And The Exorcist Complete Anthology series.
Seen a couple of those.
Also, Ghost in the Shell, 25th anniversary comes out.
Go see it!
I get to review that, actually. I get that pretty soon. Ida comes out this week. This is, I think, the best reviewed film of the year that's only been seen by like 18 people, including friend of the show Mark Hoban.
I don't even know what that is.
Okay, he's even brought it up on this podcast they were on before, but all right. Key and Peele Season 3 also comes out this week on Blu-ray. I'm a big Key and Peele fan. It returns new episodes this week, so Season 3 comes out as well. So, you know, if you want to catch up on some fun comedy, Key and Peele, it's a good one.
Hey.
And yeah, so that's out in episodes on that now. Wrapping up here, next week's show, we're talking about The Box Trolls.
Woo!
Abe and I are huge Leica fans, of course, and we cannot wait to talk about The Box Trolls. And I know for a fact that Leah Ducey has been just knocking down my imaginary virtual door to be on this podcast to talk about it. So she will be on for sure. And yeah, that should be a lot of fun. And okay, so last question before we really wrap up the show. What should people go and see in theaters right now? Jordan, if you had one movie to select to tell people to go see in theaters, what would it be?
Is it other than Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, I think so.
Or, you can choose that.
I mean, if you really want to choose, you can.
I'd probably say Maze Runner. I think since Guardians came out and now, I would say that's probably my favorite.
Cool.
Yeah. Of, like, the last 3 weeks.
Abe?
Yeah, we've talked about a lot of them, so I guess I'll say, I don't know, Dolphin Tale 2. Which I didn't see, but hey, I heard that it's good.
Friend of the show, Scott Mendelson. You know what? It has like a 70-something on Rotten Tomatoes. Like
70%.
Yeah. Like it's – and like honestly, like that's not surprising. I feel like
I've heard that it's like, you know, decent, good family fun.
Well, that's what it – I mean the first – that's what the first – I didn't see the second one. But the first one, that's what it is. That's what it amounts to. It's nothing – you know, it's nothing that's going to blow you away. But as far as kind of a family film goes of an interesting story, that first one was fine. And this one apparently kind of lives up to that one's reputation. It's not, if I get to review it, I'll do it again because I'll take any chance to see Morgan Freeman interact with a dolphin. But, I mean, as far as it goes right now, I hear good things about it. So there you go. I will say The Skeleton Twins. I think that movie is rather excellent, and it's expanded to a few more theaters, so hopefully it expands more in the coming weeks, but I think it's definitely worth checking out if you can get a chance to see
it. I would have called that, but I use that for my feedback.
I understand.
Sorry, for my quickie.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, that is it. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Out Now with Aaron and Abe. You can find more of my work on my personal blog, thecodeofzeke.com, where you can find all my written movie reviews, as well as at whysoblue.com for my reviews there, along with my Blue Air reviews. You can also follow me on Twitter, at @AaronsPS4. Abe?
You can find more fun stuff at walrusmoose.blogspot.com and twitter.com/walrusmoose. Hashtag Attack on Titan.
And Jordan, where can people find more of your work online?
Yeah, people can find more of my work online at wrathsreviews.com. When you search it on Google, it should be one of the first things that shows up, or you can just type it in wraths-reviews.com.
Great.
And that's wrath with no W.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, Justin R. And yeah, we'll be sure to have a link to your site and to your review of The Maze Runner in the show notes for this episode. And yeah, that's going to do it. You can find all the other episodes of Out Now, Out There, and Abe on iTunes and at Stitcher, as well as at hhwlod.com. That is the podcast network that hosts our show, along with other shows, including the Walking Dead TV podcast, which you'll be starting back up pretty soon, as well as the Ichabod Crane cast, which of course will be starting back very soon because Sleepy Hollow begins again. So there you go.
You can also find our episodes over at outnow.podomatic.com, as well as soundcloud.com/outnowpodcast.
And feel free to email us, outnowpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on The Maze Runner, or if you have any kind of book adaptation recommendation things that you'd want to recommend or share with us.
You can also answer our questions or ask us questions over at facebook.com/outnowpodcast, or you can tweet at us at twitter.com/outnow_podcast.
And of course, outnowpodcast.tumblr.com, you can follow us there. And lastly, if you want to leave us a voicemail, you can do so at 972-798-3830. We'll be happy to play an audio clip from you on the show. If you have a question or some kind of comments you'd like to make that we'd like to, vocally realize, go for it.
Woo woo.
Jordan, thank you very much for joining
us. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. That was a lot of fun.
Good, for sure. And we'll be happy to have you back in the future at some point. Maybe before the Scorch, I forget what it was called already, the Scorch Trials. But we'll see. But yeah, Box Trolls next week. And yeah, that's it. So until next time, so long.
And goodbye.
You're gonna make me so mad right now.
All right, jeez, I'm sorry. Okay. Calm down. It's Sunday.